This is Pastor Randall Floyd from Clayton Assembly of God in Clayton, New Mexico. It is my privilege and my pleasure each week at this time to bring you the message that was delivered the previous Sunday from the pulpit of Clayton Assembly of God. I hope you will take the time to join in and listen to what God has been saying to the congregation here, because I believe the message really has a much wider and broader appeal than just this church family. Grab your Bible if you can, sit back, and enjoy God's Word today. If you'd like to know a little bit more about Clayton Assembly of God, you can go to our website at www.claytonag.org. While you're there on the website, if you feel led to do so and you'd like to help support the ministry of Clayton Assembly of God, you can click on the donate button, or you can click on the contact page and find the address to simply mail your donation to us. Sit back and enjoy God's Word from the pulpit of Clayton Assembly of God.
1 Peter chapter 2. And again this week, I was trying to take this one chunk of it, and God narrowed it down to 5 words out of all of this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. We talked about that last week. Here's what we're going to look at this week. To be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Let me give you a little quick introduction into what Peter's original audience would have understood about the priesthood. If we go back into the Old Testament, into the law of Moses, the priests were only taken from one family out of the entire nation. God had told the children of Israel, he says, the firstborn of everything, whether it is your family or your animals, your livestock, whatever, the firstborn of all of these is to be mine. But he says, instead of all of you sending your firstborn to serve me, I will set one tribe aside and they will take the place of the firstborn, and that was the tribe of Levi. But out of the tribe of Levi, the Levites will serve me, but I'm going to take one specific family out of that tribe, and they will be the priests of the entire nation. So he took Aaron, the brother of Moses, and said, Aaron and his descendants will serve me as the priest, with Aaron being the first high priest, then his oldest son to be the next high priest, and his oldest son, and on down through history. Now, I will tell you, there are times you study their history, it didn't always work out the way God intended, but they did their best. But the tribe of Levi served as the helpers to the priest, and the priest had a unique responsibility. Number one, they were to offer sacrifices to God on behalf of the people. And then they were to communicate what God said to them to the people. So they were the go-between. They were that bridge between God and his people. Well, it's funny because in the New Testament, God changes the way he does this a little bit. No longer is there one tribe or one family that are to serve as the priest. Now he says we're all called to the priesthood. So I want to take just a few minutes this morning and I want to share with you what it means for us to be called to be priests unto God. And if you study throughout the New Testament, this is a concept that is brought up several times. Last week, we saw how we are called to be living stones, to make up part of this spiritual dwelling place that God wants His Spirit to dwell in. Now, if you haven't caught on yet, I want you to understand, the Bible uses a lot of different word pictures and metaphors to describe our relationship with God and with one another. We're called sheep. We're called living stones. We're called to be priests. Can I tell you, we've got this so mixed up. Centuries ago, somewhere in the church world, in church history, they literally created this dividing line in the church building. And they said the ones that are on this side of the line were the priests, the ministers, and those out there are the laity. And what that did is that caused the people on that side of the line to begin to get it in their heads, and they were taught this. They were being taught that your job is to sit and do nothing. You show up, you listen, you give your money, and you've done all your duty. You're done. That's it. Can I tell you, if we want to see, how many of you really, now don't raise your hand, I get tired of the bobblehead syndrome. I really do. I get sick of the bobblehead syndrome. We sit in church and we nod our heads and we raise our hands every time the pastor asks us to, because we think that's what we're supposed to do. Just don't do that. Some of you want to raise your hand all the time. I want to walk over and just slap your hand and say, stop it. Stop lying to me. How many of you really and truly, seriously want to see a move of God in this region? All right. If you've raised your hand or you said yes or you said amen, let me just tell you something. If you do not take to heart and put into action today's message, then you're lying. Because the reality of it is, what we're going to see today is that Peter in his letter, and Paul does in other places, and John does in the book of Revelation, it is evident, we are told, we are called to be priests unto God. Our job is to be that connecting bridge between God and those people out there that don't know Him. If your Christian walk, if the sum total of your relationship with Jesus Christ is to come to church once a week, whether you feel like it or not, and sit there like a bobblehead, you're missing out on so much. We're not only called to be living stones that will become part of this spiritual temple for God to dwell in, but we're not only part of the temple, we're also the priests that serve. And I'll tell you what, I'm so glad that we get to be on this side of the cross to serve in this kind of priesthood, because can I tell you, under the priesthood that Moses established in the law that Aaron and his family was to serve in, I would be disqualified. Because I have a physical deformity. Boy, I mean, it was tough. You could be born and be next in line to be the high priest or to serve as one of the priests, and it was very, very specific. Any physical deformities. In fact, if I read it correctly, if you had too many freckles, you couldn't even serve. I mean, it was strict. Why? Because God was trying to show us something in that day. He was trying to show the people how much He hated sin and how righteous and perfect and holy He was. And the fact that to come into His presence required holiness. But on this side of the cross, the standard of holiness is not less, but because of what Jesus did on the cross, now grace and mercy kicks in. And that's why it is so important that I tried to get this point across to someone this week. They said they didn't know why we talked about sin so much. They said, I don't know why we talk about sin. All we need to talk about is grace and mercy and love. How many of you understand that if you don't know what sin is, you can't appreciate mercy and grace? As priests today, our job is twofold. It is to go and lift up people's needs before God, and it is to take what God's word says and share it with the people. And how many of you know that has to be the whole word, not part of the word? Where was I the other day and somebody mentioned Luby's? Was that anybody here? We were talking about Luby's Cafeteria. May have been at the Fifth Sunday Sing. There's a song that a gospel group that's been out to one of our sister churches for concert, sing a song about, preach a little faster, pastor, we got to get to Luby's on time. Luby's is a cafeteria like Furs. And the point of the song is, if you don't hurry up and preach faster, the other churches will beat us there. Well, you know what? We got a lot of people today, they read God's word and they want to treat it like Luby's or First Cafeteria or like Golden Corral. They want to go around and pick and choose what they want. We can't do that. If we're going to answer the call to the priesthood of believers, we've got to share the whole word. Amen? All right. So let's look here a minute for a few minutes, and let me tell you what it means to be a priest of God today. A priest's responsibilities are to offer sacrifices to God on behalf of his people and to make communion between God and his people possible. That's what the priest in the Old Testament did. And in all reality, that's still our job, but we do it a slightly different way, because now every follower of Christ is called to be a priest. Isn't that good? And the number one job of a priest is to serve, to minister. And the word minister means to serve. If you're going to be a priest unto God today, you do it with a servant's heart. Okay? With a servant's heart. And I know Dale's going to tell me later, Pastor, you've been saying that a long time. I'm going to keep saying it until we all get it down really well. Because you know what? It's easy for us to kind of get puffed up once in a while and start doing it out of some other motive other than that of servanthood. I have to have a constant check from the Spirit on that one myself. You didn't have to agree so quick. So here's the responsibility of the priest today. Number one, all believers now have direct access to God through Christ. We can all be priests because we all can go right up to the throne of God. In the nation of Israel, when they built the tabernacle and when they built the temple, they had all these various courts outside. And depending on who you were, there was the Gentiles' court. And you could go no further. There was the court of the women. And the Jewish women could go so far and no further. Then there was the inner court where the Jewish men could go. But even then, that far, no farther. Then there was the inner part where the priests and the Levites could serve, but then there was the Holy of Holies where only the high priest could go, and that was once a year. Now, when Christ died, the veil in the temple was torn, and the Gospels are very specific to tell us it was torn from top to bottom as though God reached down with his hands and he ripped it open. And what that signified to them and to us is we no longer have to have somebody else go to God for us. We now have direct access into his presence. Direct access. You know, here's the deal. If you go out and you blow it and you did something wrong and you sinned this week and you want your pastor to pray for you and with you that you won't do it again, that's good. But here's the good news. Please don't come give me all the juicy details. I don't need them. And don't think that you have to have me pray for you to be forgiven, because the truth is you can go straight to the source. You don't have to have me. If it's a really juicy story and you want to share. No, I don't need the details. Aren't you glad to know, though, that we as Christians do not gossip? No. See, we don't. We share in love. And if it's really juicy, if we don't gossip, we share. And if it's really juicy, we share in love. You know, in all honesty, if you know that somebody's doing something they shouldn't and you want the pastor to help you pray for them because they're heading off in a bad direction, can I just be honest with you? All I really need and want you to do is to come to me and say, hey, can you help me pray for so-and-so? There's a great need in their life and I'm afraid they're messing up. I don't need all the details, because let's face it, I'm human. I might be tempted to use them as a sermon illustration next week. You understand what I'm saying? We don't need to know all the details, and you don't need someone else to go to God for you. You now have direct access to the throne room of God. Here's the next thing we find out. All true believers are obligated. I want you to underline that word if you're taking notes. Obligated to live holy lives. Now, a few weeks ago, we talked about what it means to be holy. In God's case, when we say God is holy, it means perfect and without sin, totally. With us, it doesn't mean that. It means that we are striving to live for Him and to be obedient to Him and to be set apart unto Him and to be set apart from sin. Want to be a priest unto God? Allow Him to set you apart into whatever work He's called you to. And to set you apart from, take you away from the sins of your past. Our speaker at our women's conference used a word from the Hebrew, teshuva. Did I get that right? Teshuva, I think. If I'm mispronouncing that, don't call me. And teshuva is a Hebrew word that simply means a turning away from sin and back to God. Can I tell you? Our speaker at our women's conference shared that a lot of Jewish people today will do that for a 40-day period every year. Can I tell you? That needs to be something we get up and do every morning. Lord, this morning, give me the strength of the Holy Spirit to be your priest among the people. And as I do that, Lord, make sure that I constantly turn away from sin and return to you with everything I do today. It's called living a life of holiness. One of the reasons that the church in America today is struggling to fulfill her mission is because not enough of us are living lives of holiness. We want to get by on, well, I'll just rely on God's grace and mercy and He'll forgive me. I'll ask you a question. Now, this is a rhetorical question. Don't answer. How much can you sin before God's grace runs out? How much can you sin before it's no longer covered by God's grace and mercy? And the Bible tells us that if you return to a life of sin, there does reach a point where God says enough is enough. He turns you over to a reprobate mind. You know, I don't want to know how close I can get to that borderline. I want to stay as far away from it as I can. And if I understand that God has called me to be a priest unto Him, to serve Him and to serve those people that He brings into my life, then I'm going to realize I need to be living a holy life. Doesn't mean I'm perfect, but it means I strive and I don't just go out and constantly see how much trouble can I get in before God gets upset. Keep striving. Here's the next thing. All true believers called to the priesthood of God must offer spiritual sacrifices to God. Now, I got a list of them. I've got a little list of them. They will be on the screen. Let's look at this. All true believers must offer spiritual sacrifices to God. We don't bring lambs and sheep and goats and bulls and doves to be sacrificed anymore. Aren't you glad? Oh, I don't know about you. I really would not want to stand up here for hours at a time slitting the throats of animals and putting them on the altar and wringing the neck off the doves and sprinkling their blood. But that's what they did. Why? Christ was trying to show just how terrible sin was. The price that has to be paid to cover sin is blood, the lifeblood of a creature. He sent His Son to be the once and all final sacrifice for us. But look, here's the spiritual sacrifices that we do. Number one, I know those are kind of small. Number one, we must learn to live in obedience to God and refuse to conform to the pattern of this world. Young people, I want your attention for a moment. If you're under the age, if you're 25 or under, I want your full attention right now. Just because your friends are doing it doesn't mean you have to. Yeah, but I'm talking to the kids for a moment. Because I know in school there's a lot of peer pressure. Let me tell you something, young people. If you got somebody that you claim is a friend of yours and they're pressuring you to do something you don't want to do, they're not really your friend. Now, those of us over 25, we need to be doing a better job of setting that example for these young people so they see us playing that out in our lives on a regular basis, because let's face it, there's some of us over 25 that we give into peer pressure faster than they do. All right, I'll get back. I'll stop meddling and get back to preaching. A spiritual sacrifice we give is to pray and praise God. I bring the sacrifice of praise. We sing that song. It's based on the scripture. There are times you're not going to feel like praising God. How many of you had a week like, or some point this week, you didn't feel like praising? Praise anyway. You don't feel like praying. Pray anyway. One of the quickest ways to get out of the blues or the doldrums or a time of feeling discouraged and despondent is to begin to worship and to praise God. We offer a spiritual sacrifice to God when we learn to serve God with whole hearts and willing hands. Wholehearted. How many of you have ever been a supervisor on a job? Maybe you're on a project job. Let me see those hands. You've been the supervisor. How many of you just love having those workers who were there half-hearted all the time? Get frustrated with them, don't you, Doug? You get frustrated with them, don't you? When they're there half-hearted, half-minded? You don't want them to do anything? Yeah, they're there for the paycheck? Now let me just give you another something to think about. How do you think your Heavenly Father feels when He gives you a task to do in life and you do it half-heartedly, grudgingly, not very willingly? You can't be a good priest unto God and not do it wholeheartedly and with willing hands. We offer spiritual sacrifices to God when we perform good works. Here's where a lot of us get in trouble with this one. God provides us on a regular basis little good works to do, but we oftentimes overlook them because we're waiting for the big thing. I don't know if you guys were in the study one day out here, been 2 or 3 weeks ago at the men's center, and I had one of the young men says, "Well, something about how do you know if you're called to ministry?" I said, "Well, there's a lot of ways." I said, "Well, number one, if you think you're called to ministry, especially pastoral ministry, come talk to me. I'm going to try to talk you out of it." I've had people look at me funny when they say that. When I say that, they say, "Why would you try to talk them out of it?" I said, "Because if I can talk you out of it, you're not called. If you're really called, nothing I say will change your mind." You say, "Are you sure about that?" Yeah, I will tell you I'm sure about that, because that's one of the reasons why I knew I was called. When I finally said yes to the Lord, when no one could talk me out of it, it didn't matter what they said, I said, "That's fine, thank you for the information, but I know where I'm headed. God has called me." Okay? So he asked the question, how do you know if you're called to ministry? Well, one, I said, talk to me. I said, two, you pray about it. I said, number three, let me just tell you, if you're not willing to get down and scrub toilets, you're not called to ministry, because if you're not willing to scrub the toilets, you're not ready to stand behind that sacred desk. See, some of you want to go around and you're waiting for God to open the door for you to walk through the stores and lay hands on people and see them instantly healed and angelic voices sing out, and you're waiting for the big things, when the truth is God's waiting for you to be willing to reach down and pick up a piece of trash off the ground and go put it in the garbage for somebody. I've had the privilege on several occasions now to go to Springfield, Missouri, where our national headquarters building is. If you ever get to Springfield, take the tour. It's really cool. It's a big building, 5 stories. Our publishing house is there. It's really cool. They got this great tour. They got a museum. It's really neat. And it's Springfield, Missouri. And they've got hundreds of people work there. And this has stuck with me. When Thomas Trask was our general superintendent, he talked about the fact, and others that saw him do this testified to this fact, they have people whose job is to clean the grounds. Okay, they go around and they pick up trash. That's their job, to keep it looking nice. And yet here's Thomas Trask, suit and tie every day. That was just Brother Trask. He's our top leader, our top minister, our top executive, and yet every day when he would go and park in the parking spot they had for him, and he was walking into that facility to go to his office, and people said that, others said they saw him just, he would stop along the way and pick up trash to go throw in the trash can. Now see, there's people sitting in this room or listening to me over Facebook or over the Hub of New Mexico right now that you would bypass the trash and think, well, I'm too important to do that. It's not somebody else's job. Can I tell you, when it comes to performing good works as a priest of God, you don't get to choose the size of the job. That's God's choice. Your choice is whether or not you're going to take advantage of the opportunity to be obedient. I was out at the men's facility Tuesday, and how many of you want to guess what happened to me again? I got another flat tire. I picked up a fence staple. Just pulled out and the light went on. Ding! And there goes my wife's record. I'd never had a flat when she's with me. Well, that record's blown. At least the tire wasn't blown. It was just a hole. So I turned around and Wyatt was doing something. I don't know, he had something, but Wyatt stopped. And while the rest of the guys were going to be in class, Wyatt got out there and he took the tire off for me and he plugged it and he filled it back up with air and got it back on the van for me. You see, Wyatt could have said, well, Pastor, here's the stuff, but I'm too busy. I got an important job inside. But Wyatt took the time to change the tire for me and plug it. And I thank Wyatt for that. I'll tell you, I've seen some of my fellow pastors, and I'm not going to tell you I bat 1,000 with this because I don't, but I'm working on it all the time. I know some of my fellow pastors, many of them a lot younger than I am, some of them older than I am, some of them my age, but I've seen some of them literally make comments that they weren't going to do such and such a thing because that was beneath them. Can I tell you, when God puts a good work in front of you to do, it's not beneath you. Go back and remember this. On the night he was going to be betrayed, the night before he was going to go to the cross, Jesus took time to wash the dirty feet of the disciples, including washing Judas Iscariot's feet, the one that was going to betray him. He even washed his feet. So the next time you think that a task is beneath you, just remember, Jesus washed the feet of the traitor. You get it like I do, don't you? Doesn't that just slap you upside the head? Yeah. We always say, well, Jesus washed their feet. Wow. Hey, he washed the feet of Judas Iscariot. Ooh. We also offer up spiritual sacrifices when we give of our material possessions to benefit those in need. What do we tend to usually give to the needy and poor of our stuff? The stuff we don't want. What? Say that a little louder, Charlie.
The stuff we don't want.
What should we be giving them? The stuff we want. Story is told, true story of some missionaries. This still happens some. They used to, churches would take up collections of clothing and stuff, pack it in barrels, and ship it overseas to our missionaries. And you know, most of the time what they got was they got the cast-offs. They got the shirts that were stained, the shirts with missing buttons, the stuff that was so old-fashioned looking or last year's fads that nobody wanted now. So, you know, they always got the worst. This story has stuck with me. Chuck Swindoll told this story. He knew it to be true. There were some missionaries that, this one missionary, he loved peanut butter. Man after my own heart. He loved peanut butter. And he kind of let one of their sponsoring churches know that, you know, I really love peanut butter. And the country they were in, he couldn't get peanut butter. Now, Connie, if you knew that one of our missionaries wanted peanut butter and couldn't get it, what would you do? You would go get a fresh jar of peanut butter, unopened, and send it to him, right? This missionary, they sent a package to this missionary with stuff, and somebody sent a half-used jar of peanut butter to them. Can I tell you, we need to remember that when we're trying to help the needy and the poor, that we are priests of God, and what we give is a direct reflection on Him. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that you've got to go over here, go to Amarillo, and go to the most expensive store in the mall and buy these people $500 and $600 suits of clothing. But don't give them your old, stained, dirty, button-missing cast-off either. If you wouldn't wear it, why should you expect them to wear it? If you wouldn't eat it, why would you expect them to eat it? We are priests representing the great God of heaven. So when we give, let's give good stuff. This was a long time ago. We were collecting for missionaries in New Mexico. Thank God I have not seen this spirit exhibited in this church. Thank you, Jesus. We asked the people to bring stuff and put it on the tables, and we were going to take it to a big state gathering where the missionaries were each going to have a table or two, and they were just going to get blessed with all kinds of stuff. And we said, you know, we told people bring food items, bring laundry items, bring soap, bring all this stuff. And we actually had people come, and they would break open a box of hot chocolate and want to lay like two envelopes of hot chocolate on the table so that they can bring two more the next week and two more the next week. Look, bring the whole box and don't open it. And if you can only do that once in a month, that's fine. Don't bring. We had people unwrapping soap bars. No, out of the box and laying the bare soap bar on the table. Folks, you're a priest unto Almighty God. Don't represent him like that, because here's the truth of it. Those people out there will judge your God by your behavior. If we're going to bring a spiritual sacrifice of our material possessions, let's make it the best we can do. Now, notice what I said. The best you can do. Look, if the best you can do is to bring one bar of soap a month, then bring one bar of soap a month, but don't tear open a big package and bring one that's unwrapped. Don't bring a half-eaten jar of peanut butter. Don't bring that shirt that you spilled coffee and grape juice on and can't get it clean and it's missing three buttons and think that somebody else should be fine with it. If you wouldn't wear it, if you wouldn't need it, why expect the poor to do so? Especially if we're priests of God. Finally, we present our bodies to God as instruments of righteousness. We live in a society today that says, I don't get it. Why are you so opposed to people expressing their love to anybody they want to in any kind of sexual relationship they want to? Do you realize that when we do that, the Bible says we're not just sinning against God, we're sinning against our own body. The Holy Spirit cannot dwell in a temple that has been polluted by perversion. Boy, you're getting quiet on me. When we take things into our body, there are people in this town right now, they're not opposed to a store that's going to sell marijuana to people. And I've heard all the arguments. I don't want to hear them again. I know all the arguments. But they don't. They say, why are you so opposed to it when it has some redeeming quality? You know what? The redeeming qualities do not outweigh the problems. You guys can attest to that. Can I tell you that if you're putting it into your body and it's detrimental to your body, you need to think twice about it, because your body is the dwelling place and the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you really think the Holy Spirit wants to dwell in a polluted, perverted temple? Do you think he will take up permanent residence in a polluted, perverted temple? Oh, kind of makes us stop and think, doesn't it? And I know some of you are sitting there, you're going, well, Pastor, you're picking on the people that smoke and you're picking on the people that drink. I'm also picking on those of us that are gluttons. Oh, I shouldn't have gone there, should I? And I'll tell you, gluttony is not about how much dessert you eat. It's about eating more than you need to be healthy. See, there are those out there that try to teach that the real us is the spirit and soul, and that the body is just a dwelling place for the real us. So what we do with and to the body, it doesn't matter. But the truth is, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died to save the whole person, spirit, soul, and body. And the Bible tells us that these bodies will be not done away with per se, they will be transformed into new bodies. Aren't we glad for that? So let me ask you a question today. Are you willing to answer the call to the priesthood? You see, to answer the call to the priesthood means that you don't just come to church once or twice a week and sit there and think you've done your duty. It doesn't even mean that you try to think you've done your duty just because you read your Bible a couple of times during the week and you say a prayer now and then and pray over your meal. Being called to the priesthood of God means that we are to spend every moment of our existence realizing that everything we do is building a bridge between God and the lost. Everything you do. The way you conduct yourself in business, the way you conduct yourself at the store, the way you drive down the highway, everything you do, the way you address the teacher in school, the way you cheer on the team at the sporting event, the way you harass the referees at the sporting event, the way you speak to your neighbors. Everything we do, if we answer the call to the priesthood of God, everything we do should be part of building that bridge between God and a lost person. Everything. Because if you go back, the priests were not called to be priests for a short time or temporarily. It was lifelong. And oh my goodness, when we answer that call, and we begin to see the results. We begin to see God working through us to bring blessings to other people's lives. And we begin to see how God uses us to help those people come into a relationship with Him. Oh my goodness, there's no greater feeling in the world. There's no greater accomplishment in the world than to realize that you have answered the call and you have become a priest unto God and you have become that bridge that has brought God and somebody else into a reconciliation. Are you ready to be answered the call to the priesthood of God today? Man, it is one of the best things. And here's the neat thing about it. You don't have to have any special education. You don't have to wait any certain amount of time. God says the minute you become His child and you're saved, He says, I want you to be a priest unto me. I want you to serve in some capacity. All you got to do is say, yes, Lord. And then be obedient. Then just be obedient. You know, we sometimes, and I alluded to this earlier, I talked about, we sometimes wait for the thunder and lightning and the booming voice from heaven to know what to do, when in reality, a lot of times what God wants us to do is to just simply respond in the right way for whatever comes our way in life. Those little special God interruptions that drive me nuts sometimes. If you're a person like I am and you like to have an agenda and a to-do list, those God interruptions come along and you've got to really stop and say, okay, Lord, don't help me get frustrated. If this is from you, then I know there's a good purpose in it. That's part of being a priest unto God. If you're ready to answer the call to the priesthood of God this morning, I want you to stand with me. I want to pray with you. I want to commission you to leave this building today to go out there and be that bridge between somebody and the Father. That bridge between somebody and the Father. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you that you have entrusted us and given us the opportunity and the privilege to serve you and to be a part of this great plan that you have to bring people into a right relationship with you. Lord God, forgive us for the times we've missed. Forgive us for the times we've been disobedient. But we thank you that you give us chance after chance after chance. And Lord God, today as we leave this place, may we not miss those opportunities that you provide for us. Lord, help us to be that bridge. Help us to serve in any capacity that you call us to serve in. Big or small, may we not be worried or concerned about the applause we get here on earth, but may we know that we are laying up treasure in heaven every time we serve you faithfully in this calling. And we'll give you praise and glory for it in your wonderful name. And everyone, amen.